Staff spoke with Mrs. Bella and explained to her that she couldn't just surrender her certificate, and that a new consent agreement needed to be drafted, and she needed to sign it. And that new consent agreement would result in the voluntary surrender of the manager's certificate. Staff asked if she understood that, she thinks she did. On March 16, 2020, staff forwarded the new consent agreement for voluntary surrender to Mrs. Bella for her review and signature. And on March 26, 2020, Mrs. Bella signed the consent agreement, and it was received by staff on March 31, 2020. Staff recommends the board rescind its original offer of the consent agreement offered on November 12, 2019, and accept the new consent agreement resulting in Ms. Abella's voluntary surrender.
So I will make a motion to rescind prior consent agreement and to also accept the voluntary surrender.
Second.
Charles and Fred.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up is item D40, case number 19-81, Lewis Harris.
Okay, this is a memo concerning complaint number 19-81 of licensee Lois Harris. And on September 16, 2019, board offered Ms. Harris a consent agreement to resolve complaint 19-81. It became effective on October 29, 2019, with all terms to be fulfilled by January 29, 2020. As of March 30th, Ms. Harris failed to comply with all the terms of the consent agreement. On March 21st, 2020, after she failed to fulfill the terms of the consent agreement, her manager's certificate was suspended. On March 30th, staff spoke, the board's executive director did speak with Ms. Harris, and she agreed to enter into a new consent agreement that would result in the voluntary surrender of her manager's certificate in lieu of attending a formal hearing. On March 30th, staff forwarded the consent agreement for voluntary surrender to Ms. Harris for her review and signature. And on April 3rd, 2020, staff met with Ms. Harris, and she did provide the signed consent agreement for voluntary surrender. As a result, staff recommends that the board rescind its original offer of a consent agreement proposed on September 16, 2019, vacate the formal hearing scheduled for May 11th, 2020, and accept new consent agreement to resolve the complaint, which would result in the voluntary surrender of Ms. Harrison's managers.
Okay, I will make a motion to rescind the original offer of a consent agreement proposed on September the 16th, 2019, vacate the formal hearing scheduled for May 11th, 2020, and accept a new consent agreement to resolve complaint number 19-81 of a voluntary surrender.
Second.
I'll second.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is item number E. We have 4120-09, board review, consideration, and action to rescind prior board action and to modify consent agreement for Eddie Rodriguez.
Okay, this memo concerning complaint consent agreement 20-09, as it concerns the licensee Eddie J. Rodriguez. And on March 9, 2020, the board offered Mr. Rodriguez a consent agreement to resolve complaint 20-09. The terms of the consent agreement included pay a reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $500, complete 3 hours of continuing education in the area of personnel requirements, and provide documentation to board staff upon successful completion of the continuing education hours, complete a 3 hours of continuing education in the area of ethics and provide documentation to board staff upon successful completion of the continuing education hours, and attend 2 NCIA monthly board meetings and remain for the entire session. Mr. Rodriguez recently spoke with the board's executive director and stated he was receptive to signing the consent agreement but requested the $500 reimbursement of investigative costs be waived. On April 2nd, 2020, staff forwarded a modified consent agreement, including the waiver of the $500 reimbursement of investigative costs, to Mr. Rodriguez. On April 3rd, 2020, he signed it and returned it to the board staff via email on April 4th, 2020. Staff recommends the board rescind this original offer of the consent agreement from March 9, 2020 and accept the modified consent agreement to resolve complaint 20-09.
Okay. So I will move to rescind the prior board action consent agreement to remove the $500 investigation reimbursement cost and accept the current amended consent agreement as already outlined by board staff.
May I ask for some discussion?
Sure.
Is Mr. Rodriguez present in the board?
Is he on the phone?
Meeting office or telephonically?
I don't believe he is.
Okay.
I know one of the issues he had with the money is because of what's going on. It would be a challenge for him.
Thank you. Alan.
So there is a motion to take away the $500 reimbursement cost and accept the consent agreement as the board staff have already prepared, and it has been seconded by Ken. Al, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randall.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Erman?
Nay.
One nay. Motion carries. Next up is item number F, board review consideration action to extend probation period, item number 42-19-116, Elvira Riley.
This is a memo concerning complaint 19-116 and licensee Elvira Riley. On December 9th, 2019, board offered Ms. Riley a consent agreement to resolve complaint 19-116. The consent agreement became effective on January 7th, 2020, with all terms to be completed within 3 months or by April 7th, 2020. Terms of the consent agreement included reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250, which Ms. Riley paid on February 11, 2020. She was to complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion. She was also to successfully pass the state examination for managers administered by the board. On March 17, 2020, Ms. Riley requested an extension of time 3 months or until approximately July 7, 2020 to fulfill the remaining terms of the consent agreement. She explained that on September 26, 2019, which incidentally was 4 months prior to the effective date of the consent agreement, she was involved in a car accident, and on November 17, 2019, her boyfriend had quadruple bypass surgery, which required full-time care for 3 months. It was noted that Ms. Riley informed staff that she intends on taking the manager training course on April 13th of 2019, which is today if the course is still being given. It's also noted that on April 2nd, 2020, Ms. Riley took the NCIA administered assisted living facility management exam and failed at that exam. She has been invited to take the exam again on May 7th, 2020. Staff does not approve of Ms. Bradley's request for additional time. However, I think 3 months may be excessive. She's already taken the exam once and failed. This is in the process of taking the training course. Staff recommend 2 months extension of time if the board wants to extend it at all.
Thank you. I know that, you know, the 40-hour manager training program, I don't even know if they're going to be able to do it right now with the issues that are going on with COVID.
There are a couple programs right now that got waivers to do online training for manager training. But I don't know which one she signed up for. I don't remember which one she signed up for.
Right.
So, Phil, are you recommending 2 months rather than 3?
It's either 2 months or
not at all.
3 months is too much. She's waited too long.
All right. I would. I don't mind getting her to 2 months only because of what all is going on. But if it's not done within the 2 months, then I don't think we should move forward with her after the 2 months.
I would agree with you. So you've made the motion to accept
yeah,
the 2 months?
Yeah, I do.
I'll second that.
And if we said 2 months, 2 months from today?
2 months from today? Is that what would work better than 2 months from where she requested it?
Yes.
Okay, 2 months from today.
This is Member Irwin. Ellen, is her certificate active in any facility at this time?
I don't think so.
Not sure.
I don't think so.
Thanks. I don't want to say no, but I don't think she is.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not real sure. For some reason, I don't think she is.
With her not passing the exam, does that not invalidate right now?
No.
Okay.
No, because she'd still be under the terms of the consent agreement, so she could still manage.
She could still manage under the terms of the consent agreement. It's when she is out of compliance that she would be suspended.
Okay. So if she doesn't fulfill it in 2 months, then she gets suspended, then we go forward.
Okay. Roll call.
Member Bill Franklin?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Irwin?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up on the agenda is item number 7, administrator license and manager certification. The Senate agenda to approve temporary administrator license, permanent administrator's license, temporary manager certification, permanent manager certifications, pending passing all required examinations within a substantive time frame where the license or certification would be denied. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Charles and Fred. Roll call.
Member Bill Franklin.
Aye.
Member Randall.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Irwin?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is item number B, individual board review, consideration and action on applicants' temporary and or permanent administrator's license or manager certification. If approved, pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame, or the license or certification will be denied. Item number 44, Allison Scott.
Allison, are you on the phone?
She was earlier, so.
Yes, she was earlier.
And she has a...
Is she?
Is she?
Allison, are you on the phone?
Scott,
if you're on mute, unmute your phone.
Just her.
For Ms. Allison's, I'm sorry, on September 19th of 2018, Ms. Allison Scott applied to become a permanent certified assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on January 8th of 2020. Ms. Scott answered truthfully to the questions if she'd ever had a certificate or license suspended or revoked, if she ever had disciplinary action taken against any license or certificate, if she had any unresolved or pending complaints against her license, and if she'd ever been arrested or charged with a criminal offense, and if she'd ever been denied a fingerprint clearance card, and if she had received her fingerprint clearance card as a result of good cause exception. In 2003, Ms. Scott was charged with driving under the influence of intoxicating liquor. That was a misdemeanor, and also for endangerment. That was also a misdemeanor. She completed probation, paid fines, and those were completed. She had a judgment of guilty that was set aside in 2008. Ms. Scott holds a nursing assistant certificate from the Arizona Board of Nursing. In 2009, the Board of Nursing revoked her nursing assistant certificate due to not making a report to the board within 10 days of being charged with a felony from her 2003 case. In 2016, Ms. Scott applied to have her nursing assistant certificate reissued. This resulted in a consent agreement based on her 2003 charges. She was placed on probation for 18 months, and in December of 2019, her certificate was reinstated. In 2012, she was denied a fingerprint clearance card. She was later granted a fingerprint clearance card as a result of a good cause exception with the Arizona Board of Fingerprinting. She has a current fingerprint clearance card, and she passed the March 2020 manager's exam.
Fred, you were making a motion earlier.
Well, did you say that the individual has a hearing yet, sir?
She has. She had mentioned to me that she has inexpensive hearing aids and that it's sometimes difficult for her to hear things.
Okay. I'll move to approve.
I second.
So motion to approve from Fred and Wally. Al, roll call.
Okay. Member Villapriti?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Best of luck to you, Ms. Allison. Next up, item number 45, permanent manager certification for Benny Vital. Ms. Malish, you can proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mr. Vidal on the line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Mr. Benny Vidal submitted an application on January 23rd, 2020 to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. He previously held manager certificate number ALM-011200, which expired on June 30th of 2019. Mr. Vidal did not answer truthfully to the question if he'd ever been arrested or charged with a criminal offense, to the question if he'd ever been denied a fingerprint clearance card, and also to the question regarding receiving his fingerprint clearance card as a result of a good cause exception. The reason for his response, as he indicated, was that he had not had another criminal incident since his first application in 2016, and that he didn't understand the question regarding the good cause exception. In July 2014, in Scottsdale, Mr. Vidal drove a friend home. He was pulled over and charged with 7 citations. 6 of those were dismissed, and he was found guilty of a DUI, liquor, drugs, vapor combo. He was ordered to pay fines. He had his driving privileges suspended, and he attended 16 hours of alcohol education and treatment. He has a current fingerprint clearance card, and he passed the April manager's exam.
Okay. Ms. Mr. Vital, what would you do with your certification if we grant you the certification?
I would put it on the home.
And are you currently the manager of the home?
No. Well, I would be if I had the certificate.
But right, but today you're not.
That's correct.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Charles and Wiley seconds. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Herman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, item number 46, Felicia.
Excuse me, I can hang up now or am I
Yes.
done?
Yes. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Item number 46, Felicia Mays.
On December 16th of 2019, Ms. Felicia Mays applied to become a permanent certified assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on March 23rd of 2020. And just an aside, she was on the phone earlier. Ms. Mays answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever had a license suspended. She answered no to the question regarding if she'd ever had any disciplinary action against her license. Ms. Mays had a LPN license from Illinois that was issued in 2011. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation suspended her license due to an unpaid tax liability. Ms. Mays has a current fingerprint clearance card, and she did not pass the April 2020 manager's exam.
No.
Did she pass?
She did not pass.
Sir, did she indicate she wanted to take it again?
I haven't spoken to her since the exam a few days ago.
She's on the phone though.
Yes, she's online.
Okay.
I believe the question from Member Randolph was, Ms. Felicia, do you plan to take the exam again?
Yes.
When? When do you plan to take the exam?
As far as the Illinois thing goes.
Mesa.
Of taking somebody's license because they didn't pay the taxes, I think they way overstepped their bounds. I think Board of Nursing has nothing to do with fooling around with license based on taxes. So for my work,
it's a non-issue
for me.
So are you making a motion to approve?
I do. I move to approve.
I second.
Okay, Fred and Wally, approve.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Seamans?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Urban?
Aye.
Okay. Best of luck to you, Ms. Mays.
Yes, and yes, for Felicia Mays, she still has to take and pass the exam.
Yes.
Yes, she
correct.
Does.
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, item number 47, Teresa Gallegos. Is Ms. Gallegos on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay, on March 2nd, 2020, Ms. Teresa Gallegos applied to become a permanent and a temporary assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on March 19th of 2020. Ms. Gallegos previously held manager certificates number ALM-08032. That certificate expired in 2011. She answered truthfully to the questions if she'd ever been arrested or criminally charged, if she'd ever been denied a fingerprint clearance card, and if she had received her card as a result of a good cause exception. In 1984, Ms. Gallegos received a charge of felicitation, the sale of a narcotic drug. This was a felony charge that was amended to a misdemeanor. That case was closed in 1987. In 2016, Ms. Gallegos was denied a fingerprint clearance card. She was granted a card as a result of the good cause exception by the Arizona Board of Fingerprinting. She has a current fingerprint clearance card, and she's scheduled for the May 2020 manager's exam.
So, So was the fingerprint clearance card that we know of denied because of the 1984 charge?
I'm not sure about that. You know, I had a first, originally after that charge, I always got a fingerprint card. I have no idea why it was denied this time.
It was from 1984.
Right, 1984. And it was closed in 1987.
Right, and it was dropped to a misdemeanor.
Correct.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I'll move to approve.
I second.
Charles and Wally.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Best of luck to you, Ms. Teresa.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next up,
do the same. Next up is item number 48, Myra Zulta de Perez.
Myra, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. On January 8th of 2020, Ms. Zuleta de Perez applied to become a permanent and a temporary assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on March 27th of 2020. Ms. Zuleta de Perez did not answer truthfully to the question if she'd ever had any disciplinary action taken against any professional certificate. Ms. Zuleta de Perez holds an Arizona Nursing Assistant certification since 2006. When she attempted to renew that certificate in 2009, she provided the Arizona Board of Nursing a different Social Security number than what the board had on file from her original application. An investigation resulted in Ms. Zuleta de Perez admitting that she had originally submitted a fictitious Social Security number that she had been using for several years. The Arizona Board of Nursing concluded by a decree of censure that Ms. Zuleta de Perez attempted to obtain her renewal certificate by fraud or deceit. Ms. Zuleta de Perez has a current fingerprint clearance card, and she's scheduled to take the May 2020 exam.
And when she applied with us, is it with the right social?
Yeah.
I believe so.
But we don't know.
Yes. I have my since 2016, I think. I'm a veteran now.
So when this issue, you were using someone else's social. Is that because you were not a citizen at the time?
No, it was a makeup social security when I was younger. So as soon as I changed my status, I became a resident. I tried to do the best, which it was put my new Social Security, and that's what I did. I changed my Social Security, and I tried to fix everything.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that you were a non-citizen with a different social and applied through the nursing board with that different social, and then you went to renew, and when you renewed, you were given a different social because now you're a citizen? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I try to do, you know, like I'm trying to be honest, and I give my Social Security number when I became a resident.
I just have a clarifying question. This is Member Lewis. And forgive me, because I know you said it a couple times, but did you have a false Social Security number that you were using before you became a citizen, and now you're using your own Social Security number?
Yes, it was a makeup Social Security.
This is Ted Ehrman. I have a question for Mr. Ehrman. Do you do an I-9 to verify your work status? For applicants?
We do. Go ahead, Sakia.
She has to show citizenship, but not an I-9. What's an I-9? Has to do with employment, ensuring that somebody can work in.
They have legal status to work legal with us.
They should have.
I think she just said that we don't run the I-9. It would be whoever employs her would have to run the I-9.
We verify citizenship status.
Is she a citizen?
She
according
is now.
To her.
She says she is now, but she wasn't before. And that's very concerning.
What kind of documentation could she provide to the board?
Well, she currently has her naturalization papers.
Do we know that's a legal document?
It is a legal document, yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Because the concern, I think I shared a concern with the other members, is that she supplied a fake document to a board already and received a license under fraud and deceit.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. I know I made a mistake. I tried to fix it and do the right thing. I give you guys my new social security, and I am a resident, and then I'm a citizen now. So I'm sorry for what happened in the past, but I applied already for the license, for the manager license. So I hope you guys forgive me about what happened in the past.
When did she become a citizen?
This was in March of
2013.
If you were granted a certificate, what would you do with the certificate?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
If you were granted a certificate, what would you do with your certificate?
Okay, I'm trying to be a manager for in a facility, in a home care.
Are you currently working there?
Yes.
And are you currently the manager of that facility?
No, I'm not the manager.
Are there any other questions from the board? Any other concerns from the board?
No.
The only concern that I have is that if we were operating with a false social security and our population in which we all serve, and that exposure to that protected information, is this something that we should be concerned about with the possibility of those social security numbers being passed to other individuals for manipulating the system?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I believe Wally shares your concern as well, so does Fred.
I do as well.
So what's the board's recommendation?
So are you saying, this is Archer, are you saying that you're worried that she would provide her current social security to somebody else?
No, I think my concern would be is if she used a fake number, would she use a residence number? They're very vulnerable. We have all
those.
Excuse me, we're discussing right now, just one moment. I think the issue, Susan, would be is that you have access as a manager to all of that sensitive data on residents. And if the individual has attempted to receive a license by fraud or deceit, which is outlined in ARS 36-446.07B, which she did, and was, you know, the concern would be, would she do it again with someone else's social for something else?
Yeah, that's my concern as well.
And I hear that. My caveat to that is she didn't choose to use somebody else's known number, like a mistaken identity. So I guess I find it a little less egregious that it was just a made-up number.
Remember, Archer, if I could also draw to your attention, if I could draw to your attention also, on her application, she was untruthful when she said, was there disciplinary action taken against her, any of her professional certifications? And there was from the Board of Nursing for the fictitious Social Security number that they had given.
Right. Yeah. Did they let her continue to practice as a medical care?
The board concluded a decree of censure, and it looks like that she attempted to renew her certificate by fraud or deceit. So do you currently hold a nursing certification as a CNA?
Yes, sir. I'm a CNA, and let me tell you, I never got nobody else Social Security. It was just a makeup Social Security. So I never used somebody else Social Security. And I'm a CNA.
Well,
I'm still a man.
Why did you say no on this application to the question, have you ever had discipline again?
I was having a girl who was helping me. She helped her mom to do the application and everything. So, and then usually when I review my CNA license book, so this girl helped me to do her application. And then I was just mentioning to her, but she maybe didn't put it in there.
So
that's the mistake I made in there. But I know I have a disciplinary action.
I'm trying to sort through this. One, why did you need help doing an application?
Because some of like, the words, so I don't understand. I just want to make sure somebody that knows.
So are you saying that your reading skills of English are insufficient, that you can not decipher basic language on an application?
No, I know how to read it, but I just want to make sure I get the application.
See, I'm torn two ways. I don't trust Social Security, and I can see them doing something really stupid and giving people wrong numbers and stuff. I can see that. But I'm troubled by the rest of it. I was doing fine. You said you had to get somebody to help you fill out the application. I'm not sure that makes sense to me.
This is Dennis. This is Dennis. I'm a board member. Could you answer a question for me? Are you intending, if you get your master's certification, to hang it at the facility that you're currently working at?
I'm sorry, say that again. Hello?
If you were to get your manager's certification, is your intent to hang that at a facility or a home that you're currently working at?
In a home. In a home.
Where you're currently working?
Yes. It's
thank you. So just a note aside, she would have access probably to Social Security numbers at this time.
So Ted, what's your take on this?
Because the Board of Nursing granted a letter of censure, I think they've cleared the thing. She appears to be legal and naturalized at this time. And I actually would move that we approve the application.
My thoughts, similar to Ted's, is that, you know, in order to be properly vetted to become a U.S. citizen, there's a pretty extensive background investigation. I'm not so concerned about that. It is troubling, but I'm more with Member Randolph about saying no on the application and struggling with being able to read English. Mm-hmm. But I think Ted is also correct that the Board of Nursing has probably vetted her, and I'd find to go along with that approving.
So you would be okay, Member Kidder, by going along and approving?
Yes.
So are you making a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the temporary and permanent manager certificate pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame where the license or certificate will be denied.
I second that.
OK, Ken and Fred. Al, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
No.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Nay.
Member Siemens.
Nay.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Herman.
Aye.
So it is 5-3, motion would carry. Okay. Best of luck to you. Next up on the agenda is item number 49, May Inabi. Let the record reflect, Ms. Inabi is present in person at the board.
On March 16th of 2020, Ms. Mahi Inabi applied to become a permanent and a temporary assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on March 31st of 2020. Ms. Inabi previously held manager certificate number ALM-0112-09. That certificate expired June 30th of 2019. Ms. Inabi owns and operates assisted living facility Sue's Place. Prior to her application being reviewed, Ms. Inabi indicated by phone that her manager certificate expired on June 30th of 2019 and that she did not have a manager for her facility. During the review of her application, Ms. Inabi revealed that Ms. Christy Neal was the manager of her facility. She provided her deficiency response that indicated that Ms. Inabi was the manager until 2020 of March, and that Ms. Neal became her manager in March of 2020. A consecutive email indicated that Ms. Inabi was the manager up until June 30th of 2019 and no longer the manager from June 2019 to March 2020. And Ms. Neal became her manager in March of 2020. Ms. Inabi called myself on March 30th of 2020, inquiring about her application. Further email led to a clarification that Ms. Neal was her facility manager as of March 18th of 2020. Her facility, Sue's Place, did not have a certified manager from July 1st of 2019 to March 18th of 2020. During the phone call on March 30th of 2020, Ms. Inabi asked about if not having a manager for her facility would affect her application for becoming a manager. I informed her that it was up to the board to make a decision on her application. Later that day, Ms. Neal contacted me. She said that Ms. Inabi had contacted her with regards to being the facility manager of Sue's Place. Ms. Neal indicated that Ms. Inabi had told her that she had talked with me and that I said it was okay to backdate the date that Ms. Neal had begun as her facility manager. Ms. Neal had already submitted a duplicate request for a facility certificate to Sue's Place. Ms. Neal said that she didn't believe that I told Ms. Inabi that information, so she decided to contact myself. Ms. Inabi wanted Ms. Neal to indicate that she was her manager a year ago. Ms. Neal said that she told Ms. Inabi that she could not do that, that she had already submitted her duplicate request to the board, and that we have the date she became the manager of Sue's Place, and that she couldn't change it at this point, and that she didn't feel great about doing that. Ms. Neal also indicated that she went to Sue's Place last Friday, and she counted 7 residents. Sue's Place was licensed for 5 residents. Ms. Neal asked Ms. Inabi about this, and Ms. Inabi told her that the extra person was a family member. Ms. Inabi later told Ms. Neal that she had applied to Arizona Department of Health Services for a bed increase. Ms. Neal called DHS and asked if she had submitted an application for a bed increase for that facility, and she was told that there had not been that submission. Ms. Sanabi told Ms. Neal that she accepted her 6th residence in December of 2019 and accepted her 7th residence in February of 2020. Ms. Neal indicated that she went to the facility on Saturday and she met a caregiver named Ruth who was working in the facility alone. Ms. Neal asked Ruth if she was a caregiver and if she had any documentation. Ruth replied that she did not have any paperwork since she only works on the weekends. Ms. Neal indicated that she's not sure if Ruth is a caregiver with a caregiver training certificate. Ms. Neal also indicated that Ms. Sanabi told her that she has 6 employees. The documentation that was provided to the board for her application included 4 employees. There is no Ruth on the work schedule. Ms. Sanabi has a current fingerprint scans card and she did pass the April 2020 manager's exam.
Thank you so kindly. Let the other board members, I'm not sure if you know, I do know Mrs. Neal professionally only, and that she is a previous board member. I have a lot of concern with this issue because there are many issues here. We've got people that are on the schedule that are working that we don't even know who they are, if they're certified or not. There's no records for them. And the current manager that's there doesn't even know who they are. You've got residents that are in the facility over the limit of what they're licensed for. And then you've got the issue of a fellow board member revealing that she was being asked to backdate the time that she was gonna be the manager. Just sounds like a whole lot of deceit in attempt to receive your certification. What do you have to say about that?
Do I have to push this?
No.
Oh, okay. Just to clarify, there was a couple of mistakes in regards to Ms. Neal's thing. So as far as in regards to the backdating, I was misunderstood because they asked about who was the manager from June 30th to March, which was me. And then once I clarified it was Zakiya, she had told me, no, since your license was expired, you cannot put it like that. And I was like, oh, okay. So I misunderstood how it was supposed to be written. So I just then clarified it with Zakiya and just put that there was nobody there at the time. And then when Ms. Neal started, I told her, and I also notified DHS about what had happened. It was just a situation where I never received the email for renewal. It just so happened that I was looking to expand my business and go to another home. So I was with a realtor who showed me an assisted living home that was already licensed and everything. The manager had a renewal receipt on the wall. So I know the manager and I called her and I was like, hey, you're supposed to renew at this time and everything. So she pretty much explained to me that my license is expired, that I need to check the certificate. That's when I initially, that was a Saturday before I called Zakiya originally. I called the NCIA board originally. So once I called them, they explained to me that I have to go through the whole process all over again, which I told them that's no problem. And we did hire Ms. Neal right away. And I did let DHS know of the circumstances.
Are you saying, I'm going to interrupt you, because are you saying that you never asked Ms. Neal to backdate?
No, kind of.
Just a yes or no?
Yes.
You did?
Just because I misunderstood the circumstances.
And since you misunderstood the circumstances, did you also misunderstand how many residents that you can have present in your facility?
No.
Why would you be over on your residents in your facility?
Good question. I actually am.
Thought it was a good question.
I'm not over. One of the residents' family members is a wife that comes in all the time. She lives right up the street. And then the other one was...
So is this...
Wait, let her finish.
Then the other resident was taking a spot for one of my residents that left, left already. But it just kind of, because of the coronavirus and everything, it kind of overlapped because where this new person was supposed to go, they couldn't put her in until a few days later. So it just kind of correlated all together, not purposely. And I am in the process, I did send an amendment to DHS in January, which I did show to Ms. Neal. And we're in the process of, we have permits and everything of getting the sprinkler system. It was just the circumstances where we can't throw somebody out due to the coronavirus and they have no spot to go. And I can't also deny somebody when somebody else is, you know, they're kicking them out. So it was just kind of circumstances like that. But as of right now.
Actually, you can deny somebody else, so.
I wasn't aware
of
that.
Who told you you couldn't deny an admission?
I just thought based on DHS rules that you cannot do that. Just because
when it exceeds your license capacity, you're violating the rules.
Right, well, now I do have only 5 residents. As far as caregivers, I might have just mistaken the number. All of my caregivers are certified. There's a big binder that has all of our certifications, all of the fingerprint clearance card. I mean, just everything that is necessary to have is in there. And as far as Ms. Ruth, her paperwork was in there, but it was it kind of got stuck to somebody else's because when I looked at it, it was right there. And then I also, Ms. Neal has sent me, because I asked her to kind of go through our paperwork, I wanted to make sure that for DHS and everything that we were okay. You know, I always like to have an extra eye looking at everything. And she mentioned some things, and I could show you that email. But even some of the email things that she put on the email, we had them. I don't know if it was just a situation where she just didn't look properly or, you know, type something like that.
How well do you know Ms. Neal?
I actually do not know her at all. It just so happened when this whole circumstance happened, I found her on Craigslist because we were trying to get somebody right away. She does know a good friend of mine, Jeff Calvert, and he does now mock inspections. So I kind of told her that, you know, I just paid him to do it, but I'd like to go over everything and make sure that we're all on track.
I would just have a hard time believing that she would make a statement like this, that you've asked her to backdate, that this employee wasn't there, the paperwork wasn't there, that you're overstaffed, when she was a fellow board member, on top of the fact that she holds an MBA. She's a highly educated individual who's on the up and up. And she has made some very egregious allegations of what's going on inside of this home.
She's a wonderful person. I mean, I didn't know her very long, but.
Alan?
She was also a state surveyor.
Yes.
And she did mention to me that she was a state surveyor. That's also why I wanted her to look through our paperwork just to make sure.
Being a state surveyor is not a plus to me.
I mean, I understand the circumstances. Like I said, I didn't mean for it to become like a backdated thing. I just didn't understand how to answer the question properly. And then once we got it clarified, you know, I was honest about it.
This is Member Irvin. I'd like to point out that this facility was without a license for 8 months. She held a prior manager certification, should be well aware of the rules pertaining thereto, and especially be aware of the rules that you cannot exceed your bed capacity in addition to the allegations by Ms. Neal. I don't see this roof even being on the schedule. There's a lot of issues that I have with this application.
I would agree with you, and I'd even make a motion to deny based on ARS 36-446.07 B8. There's just a lot of issues here. Asking people to backdate asking or having over bed capacity, having 8 months without a manager present to oversee what's actually happening and what's going on when you were already a manager and would have already known the rules and statutes. They didn't change. My motion is to deny.
If you guys would just, you know, please.
There's a motion on the
table. Member Irwin, I second.
President Villafranca,
yes.
Did you want to include in your motion ARS 36446-07B4, practicing without a biennial certification?
Yes.
And B3, unprofessional conduct, if you choose to include that in your motion.
I do choose to include, because I thought that B8 would cover all of those. That's why I put the B8, because it does say violation of the article or rules adopted pursuant to this article. But I can be more specific and put B4, or B3 and 4.
Thank you.
This is Member Irwin, and I second that motion.
So there's a motion on the table to deny, and the reasons given. It's been seconded by Member Irwin. Al roll call. Unless any other board member had anything that they wish to discuss.
I have two questions. One, were you ever cited by Department of Health Services for practicing there without a manager?
No, and that was another.
They would find that.
Yeah, and that was another concern of mine, because they had come in October and they never said anything to me. And, you know, like I said, I never got the email, I mean, which I take full responsibility for that, but they did a survey October of 2019 and they never said anything to me about it. And that's where I'm, like, it was an honest mistake. It was not something that was intentional. And, you know, I have a business here, and we're affected by coronavirus with, like, financially and everything, but I would still, you know.
Well, that's going to be my next question, is when you took resident number 6,
yes.
And if I understand you correctly, resident number 7 is a family member that just comes and stays and theoretically does not stay overnight. Did you request like an emergency exemption from the Department of Health Services?
No,
number 6 in the house.
No, I wasn't even aware you could do that. The other resident left within 48 hours. It was a Saturday. I just wasn't aware you could do that. It was just
okay.
I wish I never did.
Those are the questions I had.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does this fall under the no good deed goes unpunished rule? Okay, I'm trying to sort this out.
That's part of that, I think, personally.
Here's my thoughts. If this lady was moving a patient because one couldn't get in because of COVID and she's trying to help, if that's the case, if she was just trying to solve a solution, I can't get to exercise if for a day or two she had one extra person in the building. They got ate, they got fed, they were safe from the world. I got to tell you on that one, I darn near give her a commendation. The whole thing sounds so murky to me. I'm just not convinced that we shouldn't give this lady a break. The whole world's upside down out there right now. Nobody's ever said she ran a bad facility or residents weren't taken care of.
Well, there's a motion on the table to deny. We can see if it goes through, and if it doesn't, we'll make another motion.
Okay.
How's that? Roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Nay.
Member Campbell.
Nay.
Member Kidder.
Nay.
It's a nay or an aye?
Nay.
Nay. Okay.
No.
Member Lewis?
Nay.
Member Siemens?
Nay.
Member Archer?
Nay.
Member Irwin?
Aye.
Okay, motion does not carry. Freddie, would you like to make a motion?
So when we decide here, whether to let her license?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it simply?
That's it simply.
I move to let her license.
Okay.
A second.
From Fred, seconded by Wally to grant.
Is that pending passing all required examinations?
Yes.
Within the substantive time?
Yes, absolutely.
And I did pass it on.
No, this would be the best time in the world for you to not say nothing.
Okay, sorry.
Who made the motion?
Fred made the motion, seconded by Wally.
Member Villafranca?
I will change mine to aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Irvin?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Best of luck to you. The time is now 10:31. The board's going to stand in recess for 5 minutes.
Go forth and sin no more.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He put us back in session. You didn't put us in session?
No.
We're now in session as of 10:45 a.m. All right, Zakiya. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. On March 24th of 2020, Mr. Charles Seal Villafranca applied to become a permanent and a temporary licensed nursing home administrator. His application became administratively complete on April 6th of 2020. Mr. Seal Villafranca answered truthfully to the following questions. If he'd ever voluntarily surrendered a license, if he'd ever allow a license to lapse, if he had a license suspended or revoked, if he ever had any disciplinary action taken against the license, if he'd ever been charged with a criminal offense, if he ever had a record expunged. Mr. Cia Villafranca previously held a Louisiana LPN license. That license was suspended indefinitely in 2004 based on a report made to the board in 2001 by Tulane University due to a termination for exceeding the scope of practice for an LPN. The Virginia Department of Health Professionals mandatorily suspended his LPN license in July of 2004 based on the suspension order from the Louisiana State Board of Practical Nurse Examiners. Mr. Cia Villafranca had an Arizona LPN license that was voluntarily surrendered in April of 2018. The Arizona Board of Nursing received information that in 2004, Mr. Cia Villafranca's Louisiana LPN license was suspended, which led to the Arizona Board to conduct an investigation. This investigation led to Mr. Cia Villafranca surrendering his Arizona LPN license. In 2007, Mr. Cia Villafranca received a disorderly conduct fighting charge for an incident with his mother. That charge was dismissed in November of 2007. Mr. Cia Villafranca has a current fingerprint clearance card. He's scheduled for the May 2020 administrator's exam.
Have all the board members in attendance today read all the attached information on Mr. Villafranca? Is there anybody that hasn't? Let me answer it that way. All right, any board members have comments?
Well, Mr. Villafranca, what would you do with this administrator license should you be deemed worthy?
Pray very, very, very much, because I understand that it's going to be a bigger responsibility. I would say that I came to this board in 2016, and these were all disclosed in 2016 whenever I became certified as a manager, with the exception of me surrendering my Arizona license in 2018. I do not wish to ever practice as a nurse and move forward as being an administrator.
What is the question? What does he intend to do?
My question is,
I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you.
So what do you intend to do with your license should you obtain one?
So it would be,
it's a simple question.
Right now we're looking at going to Ridgecrest, and I would hang a license at Ridgecrest.
At Ridgecrest.
It's a 200 bed facility, behavioral health.
That may give some indication as to your sanity. However, does that answer your question satisfactorily of what he intends to do with it?
Yes, thank you.
Does any board member wish to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve permanent temporary administrator license pending passing all required examinations within a substantive time frame.
I second the motion. Al, can you make a roll call vote, please?
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Simmons?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Urban?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now I abdicate my position as president and return to my lowly staff position as just an average old board member.
You're setting your crown, Fred.
Yes. I never wanted a darn thing anyway.
Like a building proof.
Okay, next up on the agenda is item number 8, assisted living facility training programs. Consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs or renewal of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. I move to approve.
Second.
Charles and Wally. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Simmons?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Urban?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is item number 9A. Board review, consider and take action, investigation reimbursement methodology. That's all from the AG's recommendation 12A. Establish an investigation hourly rate, AG's recommendation 12B. Establish a method for tracking and documenting staff time, AG recommendation 12C.
And the AG is Auditor General, not Attorney General.
So the board's options on this are what? To reject it? That's not going to happen.
No. In the Auditor General's report, they made certain recommendations that the board reimbursement of investigative costs, that we establish a, number one, a methodology as to how we arrive at the numbers.
Okay.
And I put together the methodology using staff salary and then personal services, other operating expenses that are directly related to the investigator or staff that is doing the investigation. Reduced it from an annual cost down to an hourly rate, which was one of the recommendations of the Auditor General. As you can see on the spreadsheet one, it lists an annual cost and then a prorated cost depending on whether it's the investigator, the administrative assistant, or myself that would be involved in any part of that investigation and determine an hourly rate. And then based on time, we can apply that hourly rate. If Phil spends a half hour on it, we know what his hourly rate is for that investigative cost and able to apply that. In the end, we would end up with a total in a solid amount that we could then or should then impose as a reimbursement, instead of arbitrarily, what they were concerned about is just arbitrarily entering a cost without any backup material as to how we arrive.
So basically, all your recommendations are designed to put us in compliance with the Auditor General's recommendation.
Correct. Also, on the tracking, complaint tracking, you'll see the form that we've prepared. What we do is track each time, the date that we did it, the staff member that performed that particular process, and then in the end, we'd come out with a total. This would be on every single investigation that we conduct. So, and in the future, I'll put together a policy procedure for guidelines for the board to follow as well as staff to follow in implementing these particular methodologies and tracking.
So then what you're looking for is approval of those. That being said, I move that we do accept and approve all of Alan Emick's recommendations to get us in compliance.
Second. So Fred, Charles. Yes, go ahead.
So, Alan, my discussion point to you is on the investigating cost methodology. I know Phil takes into consideration all the time he spends over and above what's here, because something may take 3 more hours or 6 more hours of his investigating.
Whatever. That, correct.
And so not all fines will be the same amount anyway.
Correct.
Okay. That's fine.
Depending on what it comes out as, what it's going to be, what it should be imposed.
Okay.
And it's not a fine, it would be a reimbursement.
I have two questions. One is, would that breakout be, is that going to be part of the complaint information that comes to us for review when we hear each case?
Correct.
Okay. And then the next question is, I presume will we be down to $250.42, or is it going to have some sort of, is there a method to sort of put it in a rounded number?
It would be a rounded number.
Okay. And do we have a limit on what that number can be?
No.
For reimbursement costs? Okay. I have a second.
Okay.
Okay, so we had a motion by Fred to approve, second by Charles.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, that brings us to item number 10, administrative matters, financial report.
As of the first of April, the board had a fund balance of $377,200, which is about 4%, just about 4% over projections at this point. We just started the administrative renewal, so we'll see some additional funds come in, but that's already projected in here. As far as expenses, we're right on target with the budget. We're right at about $1,000 over on a $455,000 budget. So.
Okay, and complaint status report?
The status is the same as it was last month. It's some more cases that I've opened and will, after today's meeting, be opening 8 more. There's a stack of new ones we need to test and review to see which ones will be open from there. I've got about 40 of them ready.
Is that a conversation with the microphone? I can't.
Yeah.
Here.
I'm trying to turn it back on.
There, you're on.
Okay. Yes, we have 8 new cases from today. There's a stack of new ones that need to be reviewed and then opened from DHS. I've got about 40 cases ready for the board to review in upcoming board meetings, and depending on when we need to get to hear those cases, we'll start getting to them. And I've got about 25 monitored consent agreements. And after the review of the several memos today with the board, some of those consent agreements will go away now.
Okay. Licensing report.
For the assisted living facility managers, we have 2,177, with 20 of those being temporary, and 16 of those are inactive. For our nursing care administrators, we have 348, with 23 of those are inactive and no temporaries currently.
Legislative update?
Basically, legislature's sitting at home. So there's no updates. Everything was kind of put on hold. They passed their bare bones budget, and Everything else right now is kind of up in the air until they get back into session.
Okay. Rules update?
Rules update. We're still moving forward with the rules on Article 7. There is some talk about from the governor's office moving it to emergency rulemaking. But I haven't, that was as of Friday, and I haven't heard back as of today. I know the CARE CREST, the Department of Health Services, agrees that it could and should probably go to emergency rulemaking to get the DCWs into place sooner than later.
Okay.
Also,
Carolyn, I have a couple of questions regarding that when you're done.
Okay. Also, we got a waiver on continuing education for administrators to for 120 days. They can do in-person. The in-person CEU requirement for renewal was waived and can do distance learning or online to cover all continuing education for renewal purposes during the administrative renewal. Also have a caregiver and manager training programs. We've got an emergency waiver for 90 days to temporarily do online training. They have to get approved by me to make sure that their modifications are adequate. And that, and what type of systems they're using to deliver their online training. We have, I believe, seven or eight that have received waivers for caregiver training, and two or three for manager training so far. And I looked at my email, and there's a couple more that are waiting that came in over the weekend for the waiver. And this will be as long as the emergency is in effect.
Member Lewis, you had some questions?
Yeah, regarding the DCW, Alan, what are you, is it that you guys are going to allow them to become certified caregivers? Is it that they're going to be able to test? If they are testing, where do they test? Just questions regarding that asking that is being explored.
It's
President Villafranca, perhaps we can put this on in a future agenda where the board can discuss and vet the waiver if it chooses, because this would need to be agendized in order to support a full discussion.
Right.
Okay.
It was just for informational purposes. Nothing's been taken care of. We're still on the road to the normal rule process. So nothing's happened on the other.
Okay, I have another question then. As these rules are coming up, because I know everything is working very fast regarding the COVID management in Arizona, how would the board be notified, and or will the board be participating in formalizing those emergency rules or any recommendations or anything like that?
As far as the rule process currently, it's going through the normal process through the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. The board has already they approved the package several months ago, and we're continuing the process. So, I mean, the rules have already been proposed, and they are on our website.
Okay, so the existing rules that have already been reviewed.
Correct.
By the committee that is being just.
Correct.
Pushed through fast because of the, okay, the response. Okay, that makes sense. I thought you were referring to something new.
No, nothing new. Same rule.
Okay, training report.
Right now we have 49 training programs, caregiver training programs, and I believe 14 or 15 manager training programs, and they're all running about an average of 80% first-time pass rate.
Okay, board meeting critique. I think for the very first time of us doing the majority telephonic and having general public available telephonic, I think it went very well.
Yes, it did.
I agree.
Great.
Okay. Next up is the item number 11. The next board meeting of this board will be held Monday, May the 11th, 2020 at 1740 West Adams, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona at 9 a.m. And the board stands at adjourn at 11:03.